السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم.
نعم يا شيخ. الحمد لله.
نستمر بالدرس.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Yesterday, in continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we read Bab al-Mashura or Bab al-Mashwara, the chapter about the advice itself that we receive. We mentioned in that class how important it is to seek advice, how important it is to ask people's opinion regarding a matter, and how the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has commanded him to ask for the views, to ask for the opinions of his companions, radiyallahu anhum. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that verse in Surah to Ali Imran, Allah commanded him and said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Ask their opinions regarding the affairs. And we explained. Now some of the ulama explained why is it that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to ask for the opinions of the companions. And some of them give an answer to say that rahimahumullah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has been commanded to ask for opinions, to ask for suggestions, to consult the rest of the people, the rest of the companions, radiallahu anhum. لِيَتَسَنَّنَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ, so that the rest of us who come back behind, who come behind them, will come to understand that a major blessed way of taking actions in life is that we seek suggestions and opinion. We make consultations before we make those actions. So it will be clear to every one of us that the way to go when we have issues, when we have things to decide and actions to take, is that we should give consultations. So that goes to make us understand that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam himself was commanded by Allah to ask for the suggestions and consult the companions. We also mentioned that al-mashura, it does not have to do with every affair. Why? Because some of the affairs have been determined by revelation. So that's al-mushawara. Mutual consultation is encouraged in Islam. It does not mean that the Muslims now come together to say they want to take decisions, they want to consult themselves regarding a matter about which there are clear-cut expressions, clear-cut commands, clear-cut guidelines from the Quran and clear-cut guidelines from the Sunnah, and say, oh, let us consult whether we will continue to do this or will discontinue this. For example, we give an example. It is not from saying that we are making al-mushawara to say we want to decide whether the number of units, the number of raka'at in Salat Zuhr should remain 4 or they should be brought back to 2 and things like this. So al-mashura, as important as it is in Islam and as encouraged as it is in Islam, does not have to do with every matter. And that was what Abdullah ibn Abbas reminded us when he read that verse. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Yes, the commandment is there that we should have al-mushawara. But this mushawara, as important as it is, we have been made to understand that it is regarding those affairs about which there are no clear-cut guidance or guidelines from the Quran and the Sunnah. So we require some sort of thinking about how to go about it this is what the Sharia demands, that we should seek advice and make consultations about. We also, Bismillah, explained those traits we should find in a person before we say, oh, he is ripe to be consulted regarding a matter. Hisalu man yustashar. The traits that we should find in a person before we say he deserves to be asked for opinions regarding a matter. We mentioned about five of them. And at the question time, when we discussed the third one, an yakuna nasihan waduda, that the one who we will ask for opinions should be nasihun, a person who likes the person that he is giving. He likes him. He does not hate him. He likes the person who asks for that consultation from him. Waduda. He likes good for that person. He is nasihun wadud. He likes good for him. He wants good for him. At least apparently the person can understand, this person wants good for me, and he is wadud. He's a loving person. He loves me and he wants good for me. Which contradicts consulting and asking for suggestions from a person who has hasad against you. When a person has hasad against you, he is not qualified from among those who should be consulted regarding that particular, or regarding the affairs of the individual, generally speaking. Then a question came at question time, and I think it is very important, because we mentioned in that class yesterday that bismillah, we shall shed some more light on that subject. A person asked about, how do we know who the hasid is? How do we recognize hasad in an individual? If a person has hasad, I have gone to check the dictionary meaning of jealousy and envy, that both of which we use most of the times to describe what hasad is. But by the time we describe what hasad is truly now, I'm sure we'll be looking for another single word to refer to us as hasad. But most of the times we usually say jealousy. Most of the times we refer to hasad as envy. We refer to hasad as beefing. But if we go back to the dictionary meanings of these words, and we come back to understanding what exactly al-hasad is, we are going to understand that hasad as a word is more encompassing than just saying that the person is jealous or envious or that he beefs his brother. Al-hasad has more meanings, is wider in scope than just saying that a person is jealous. So I have thought that today we should discuss what is hasad. Tell us a little bit, bismillah, about what the ulama and how they have explained al-hasad. And regarding that, I would like to refer us to al-Imam Ibn Hibban in his book, Rawdatul Uqala. He has an entire chapter in about 5-6 pages where he discussed al-hasad in great details, citing ahadith and citing the statements of the early Muslims regarding what exactly is hasad, how does one protect oneself from hasad, and things like this. Likewise, al-Imam Abu'l-Hasan al-Mawardi, that we cited yesterday, he also discussed al-hasad in his book, Adabuddin wa Dunya, and others. Most of those who gave the sharh of the hadith of Abu Huraira, when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la tahasadu wa la tabagadu wa la tadabaru. That hadith, it's one of the ahadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, and it occurs in Sahih Muslim. So we find some of the scholars who have discussed that hadith also explaining what hasad is, like Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali in his book Jami'ul Ulum wal-Hikam, which is his sharh of the 40 hadith and the additionals that he gave, rahimahullah, we'll find some explanations regarding what hasad is. Also, Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Sa'id Raslan, He has a book about afatul ilm, the shortcomings, the failures that people come across, people suffer. Some people, they are learning, they are scholars, they are learned people, but they have some shortcomings. What are the kinds of shortcomings that a student of knowledge can face as a student of knowledge and that he must learn to avoid? One of them is al-hasad wal-hikd. So this sheikh also went ahead to discuss al-hasad. Likewise, al-imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of al-mu'awwidhatayn, the tafsir he gave regarding Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, he was also extensive, rahimahullah, in describing what hasad is. Unfortunately, we're in a generation and in time that most of the people, we don't pay attention to matters like this. So we thought it appropriate today, bismillah, to mention a little bit of what hasad itself, what does it mean? How does it manifest? How do you realize that somebody is likely to give hasad against you? How are you likely, what are the things you are likely to find in a person who is suffering from that serious ailment that we refer to as al-hasad? May Allah protect us from hasad. In Surah Al-Falaq, Allah made us understand that from the major evils in this world that requires that an individual returns to Allah to seek protection. From the major things of evil in this world that a person must seek refuge with Allah from is the evil of the hasid when he makes hasad. So if one of the major evils a person can face in life, one of the major trials a person can face in life can come from al-hasad. And then as individuals, we do not know what exactly hasad is. Then that's a dangerous thing. It's like not knowing an impending danger. It's the danger that can fall upon the individual. And yet he knows little or nothing about al-hasad. So these are the reasons for which I thought it will not be out of place to give some explanations about al-hasad and how al-hasad manifests in the hasid, and what bi'iznillah can the mahsud, the one to whom al-hasad is directed, what are the things that he may do to seek protection from Allah against this evil from that hasid? May Allah protect each and every one of us. So what then is al-hasad? The ulama say al-hasad huwa al-bughdu wal-karahatu lima yarahu al-hasid min husni hali al-mahsud. Al-bughdu wal-karaha lima yarahu al-hasid min husni hali al-mahsud. Al-hasad is al-bughd, serious hate, wal-karaha, and dislike, لِمَا يَرَاهُ الْحَاسِدُ مِنْ حُسْنِ حَالِ الْمَحْسُودِ, because of what al-hasid, the one who is afflicted with that illness called al-hasad, he will hate and dislike مَا يَرَاهُ مِنْ حُسْنِ حَالِ الْمَحْسُودِ, he will hate and dislike what he sees from the nice condition of that person. Someone sees you, your health is sound. Someone sees you, you have a car that's of a benefit to you. Someone sees you, you have a house. Or you have a child that listens, that's obedient. Or you have any of the blessings of this world. And then he hates that you have that good thing. He hates that you have that favor. He dislikes that that favor has been bestowed upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-hasad is al-bughdu wal-karahatu lima yarahu al-hasid min husni hali al-mahsud. Al-hasid is the one who has that sickness. He will hate or dislike ma yarahu, what he sees of husni hali al-mahsud, of the nice condition. You are in a nice condition. You are not sick. You see, you hear, you speak, you are handsome. You are beautiful. You are nice to people. Any of these favors, whether that favor is in your person or that favor is a favor that is external, like having money, like having knowledge, like having experience, like having a good ability, having a good wife, a person may suffer hazard from the hazard because he has a good wife, because he has an obedient wife, because he has a good child, because he has an obedient daughter. The hazard can have hazard of you because of any of the favors of Allah on you. When he sees something that's a special favor from Allah upon you, يَكْرَهُهُ وَيُبْغِضُكَ عَلَيْهَا, he will hate that favor and he will dislike you as a result. He does not like that favor to be your own. He hates that thing to be of you. He hates it. سَوَاءٌ تَمَنَّى زَوَالَهَا أَمْ لَا, whether in that case he wants you to lose that thing or not. Because some of the scholars say that al-hasad is that that person wants you to lose the favor that you have. That is why they interpret al-hasad to mean jealousy. Because jealousy is about wanting to usurp some things of benefit that the other one has. It feels like he is the one who should be in that position. The hasad, he may not want to take it over from you. He may not want it. The point is that once a person dislikes a favor of Allah upon an individual, once a person hates that Allah has favored you with a particular favor, that person has begun to suffer from what? Al-hasad. So al-hasad, which is the sickness that al-hasid suffers, and he directs it to the mahsud, huwa al-bughd wal-karahatu bima yarahu al-hasid min husni halil mahsud. That is the hatred and the dislike that that hasid, the one who has that disease, he directs it to the individual. Why? He saw one favor of Allah upon that person. He saw one good condition with that person. He hates that condition being with you. So when he hates you to have that favor of Allah, that hatred of his inside his mind is what is referred to as what? Al-hasad, and it's a disease. An example of that that Allah gave us in the Quran was the hasad of the Jews and the Christians against the Muslims in Mecca and Medina. When the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jews had been reading in their books that Allah was going to raise a messenger from amongst the Arabs. Allah told us that in the Quran. We still find the remnants of this in the books of the Jews. But when the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Jews hated the fact that Allah raised that Prophet from a group of people different from them. Allah raised the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam from among the Arabs. Then the Jews hated that favor of Allah. They hated the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for the favor of being a messenger and not being a Jew like them. Then they hated the rest of the Muslims. Why? They hated them because it is from amongst them that that messenger has been raised. So the favor of Allah upon the Arabs was that Allah raised the messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam from amongst them. And that favor was hated by the Jews. They hated the fact that that favor was bestowed upon the Arabs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah said in the Quran, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Should you people be hating, should you have hasad of the Arabs? عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, because of a fadl, because of a virtue from the virtues of Allah that Allah has given to a people. Should you hate them because of a virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them? Should you hate them as a result? You hated the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam because he gained messengership. You hated the Arabs because they got the messenger. These favors from Allah. Should it be that you should hate the people because of that? Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابِ. But from amongst you too, and you are from the children of Ibrahim too. We had raised books, we had sent books to the messengers from amongst you. Well, hikmah, we have given raised them as messengers. وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. We also favored you too from Banu Israel. We also give them mulkan azima, a lot of kingdom, huge, huge, significant ones amongst you people enjoyed a lot of mulk. You enjoyed a lot of authority. You enjoyed a lot of kingship, kingdom. And that was referring to Nabi Dawood and Sulaiman, because Allah gave them tremendous. You have also been blessed by Allah. So why do you hate the Arabs? Because Allah has raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst them. Why do you hate the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Because Allah has raised him as a messenger. So the point here is al-bughd wal-karahat lima yarahu al-hasid min husni halil mahsud. That hatred that hasid has when he sees a favor of Allah upon the other one who has been favored by Allah, he sees that he has a favor from Allah. That hatred itself is what is referred to as what? Al-Hasad. Whether he wants that favor to remain with him or he wants that favor to go away from him. What is common, as we shall soon hear, from amongst the ways of the Hasid is that because he hates him to have that goodness, he hates that goodness for him. This is the basic hasad. Some of them desire also that goodness should go away from him. They now begin to keep in mind, hoping that mahsud, the person who suffers this hatred, they begin to hope that he will lose that virtue. He will lose that favor of Allah. If he's a wife, they begin to hope that he should lose that wife. If he's a son, they begin to hope that boy should die. If he's a daughter, obedient, nice, handsome, beautiful, and all of these, everybody likes the girl on the street. The one who has hasad of her father and her mother begins to hope that parent or the father and the mother, they lose that girl. If it's a car, the hasid begins to think that you should lose that car because he hates that you should have that car. If it's a house, the hasid begins to think that you should lose it. If it is knowledge, if it is clear-cut expression that Allah has blessed you with, the one who has hasad of you begins to hope that one day you will lose that benefit. Another thing the hasid can go on to do, he begins to now walk towards your losing that virtue. Look at it. The first thing that establishes hasad is that he hates that thing for you. This is hasad. Now, it can grow up to him hating, hoping that you will lose that virtue. Whether that virtue should come to him or not, it's not important. The first thing about the hasid is that he hates you to have that favor of Allah. The second thing about him, and that's a progression. Once he hates that thing for you, he's already hasid. He's already making hasad of you. The next stage is that he begins to hope that you should lose that favor. The worst stage regarding that again is that he begins to walk towards your losing that favor. He will be walking towards your losing the favor. This is what Al-Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahullah has captured regarding these traits of the hasid. The hasid hates you for that favor. The hasid does not like that favor to have come to you. The hasid now begins to think in his mind that you should lose the favor. And the hasid can progress to now start walking about how you can lose that favor. So these are the ways al-hasadu manifests in the hasid against the mahsud. I hope that these explanations are clear. Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in Rawdatul Uqala, he said, al-wajibu ala al-akil مجانبة الحسد على الأحوال كلها. الواجب على العاقل مجانبة الحسد على الأحوال كلها. What is incumbent upon any person who is an intelligent person? If you are an intelligent person, what is compulsory for you? What is incumbent on you is مجانبة الحسد. It's for you to avoid this sickness called al-hasad ala al-ahwal kulliha. In every circumstance, the intelligent person pays attention to his mind. He does not allow himself to fall into this evil of hating a favor that Allah has bestowed on another person. Don't hate, don't dislike that favor that Allah has blessed him with. So if you are an intelligent person, that is what you will do. He says, فَإِنَّ أَهَوَانَ حِصَالِ الْحَسَدِ, because the least of what you find in hasad, if a person has hasad against you, the least of what you find regarding him is تَرْكُ الرِّضَى بِالْقَضَى. The one who has hasad, يَتْرُكُ الرِّضَى بِالْقَضَى. He does not like what Allah has preordained. He hates that preordainment. Allah preordained that you have a good wife, he hates it. So he hates that preordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah preordains that you are an intelligent person, he hates that preordainment. Allah has preordained that you have a good son or good child or good car, or you have money, or you're a wise person, or you're a person who, when you speak to the people, they want to listen to you. It's also a virtue that a person enjoys from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you have a mastery of any aspect of knowledge. Or you even have a shoe, you have a cloth, you have a cap. It could even be your goggles that Allah has bestowed upon you. Whenever you wear that goggle, the goggle fits you and it is fine and it is handsome and all of these. He begins to have hatred against you because of that favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that he suffers from the things in him is that he is not pleased with that qada'u of Allah regarding you. Wa iradatu diddi ma hakama Allahu li'ibadi. He now begins to desire the opposite of what Allah has preordained regarding his servant. Allah has preordained that you have that favor. But he begins to wish, desire the opposite of it. That is when he now begins to see, why should it be the one? He begins to ask the question, why? And the third thing regarding that is that summa intiwa'u ad-damir ala iradati zawali ni'ami al-muslim. He begins to now nurse in his mind iradata zawali ni'ami al-muslim. He begins to nurse how that favor that Muslim enjoys, how is it that it will go away from him? When he begins to, many of the scholars mention this. Unfortunately, this is what people refer to as al-hasad. They say al-hasad is a person wants that thing to go away from you. The first thing he does before wanting that thing to go away from you is the hasad itself. And that is the hatred that favor should be your own. He also said elsewhere, rahimahullah, he says, wal-hasidu la tahda'u ruhuhu. وَلَا يَسْتَرِيحُ بَدَنُهُ إِلَّا عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ زَوَالِ النِّعْمَةِ عَنْ أَخِيهِ الْحَاسِدُ لَا تَهْدَأُ رُوحُهُ. The one who is a hasid, his mind will not go to rest. وَلَا يَسْتَرِيحُ بَدَنُهُ, his body, his limbs will not come to rest. إِلَّا عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ زَوَالِ النِّعْمَةِ عَنْ أَخِيهِ, until he finds that favor that his brother has been favored with or his sister goes away from him. That is when he finds rest. The one who has hasad of you, it does not rest until you lose that favor. And you see that in the hasad of Shaitan against Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan was not pleased with Adam until he saw Adam expelled from Al-Jannah. When he leaves with him, he lost that favor so good. He has lost it. He has lost that favor. And the same way you find that when on the earth the two children of Adam, one of them gave sacrifices. I'm sure we remember that story in Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَعَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. When the two of them gave sacrifices, and it was accepted by Allah from one of them, it was not accepted from the other. The other was sincere, and he gave what was due, and Allah accepted it. The other person wasn't sincere and he did not give what was due and Allah did not accept it. The other one began to have hasad, hatred for the other one because of that favor. What was that favor? The acceptance of the sacrifice. The next thing he wanted is that la'aqtulannak, I would kill you. Ulama say this means that hasad from the hasid against the mahsud can go to the extent of seeking to take the life of the victim of your hasad. A person can have hasad so much in his mind against you to the extent that from not just that the virtue should go away from you, he will be hoping that you should die. And he will be the one to carry out that evil act against you. May Allah protect each and every one of us from this evil. Al-Imam Ibn Hibban also described al-hasad and the hasid. He says, وَيَسْهُلُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ تَرَدِّي كُلَّ سَاخِفٍ يَسْهُلُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ تَرَدِّي كُلَّ سَاخِفٍ. He said, it is easy for an individual to make every person who is disgruntled against you to be happy. You can pacify anybody. You offend somebody, you can beg him, and the person will accept your apology and all of this. You can do that fi dunya hatta yarda. You can appease anybody. Yashulu ala al-mar'i taraddi kulla sakhitin fi dunya hatta yarda illa al-hasud. You can appease, you can appeal against anybody that you offend. Someone can offend you, or you can offend somebody. You go to him, you apologize to settle it. You can, this one can go on. And after that, you even gain his pleasure. You can do that with anybody in this world, illa al-hasud, except the one who is deep in his hasad against you. The ulama say, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرْضِيهِ إِلَّا زَوَالُ النِّعْمَةِ الَّتِي حَسَدَ مِنْ أَجْلِهَا. He said, the reason why the one who has hasad against you will never be pleased with you even when you apologize. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرْضِيهِ. Say, nothing will please him, nothing will appease him, illa zawalu ni'mati allati hasada min ajliha, except when you lose that favor, the reason for which he was making hasad of you. When you lose it, then he's pleased with you. When you lose that favor, then he's pleased with you. As long as that favor remains with you, he is angry against you. He is so angry against you. And Ibn Hibban said again, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَا يَكَادُ يُوجَدُ الْحَسَدُ لَا يَكَادُ يُوجَدُ الْحَسَدُ. And hasad would always almost not be found. You almost not find hasad. إِلَّا لِمَنْ عَظُمَتْ نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Except with the one that Allah has blessed with a lot of favors. If you find someone that Allah has blessed with a lot of favors, let that person be prepared that he has hasud against him. He said, rahimahullah, فَكُلَّمَا أَتْحَفَهُ اللَّهُ بِتَرْدَادِ النِّعَ. Each time Allah increases his favor on you, إِزْدَادَ الْحَاسِدُونَ لَهُ بِالْمَكْرُوهِ وَالنِّقَمِ. Those who have hasad against him also increase in their hasad. So that's one of the things you must understand. If a person hates that, you have a shoe, the day you have another cloth that is nice on you, the hasad will increase. The day you have a cap that is nice on you, the hasad will increase. The day you have a jilbab that's nice on you, that's very good looking, I mean, that fulfills the conditions of the jilbab, the hasad will increase. The day you have, as the more favors you have, the more the hasidun, those who take to having hasad against you, the more they increase. These are the things you will find with al-hasad. Also, the a'imma say, rahimahumullah, they say, فَلْيَحْذَرْ الْمَرْءُ, Ibn Hibban specifically, he says, فَلْيَحْذَرْ الْمَرْءُ مَا وَصَفْتُ مِنْ أَشْكَالِهِ. So let every individual be careful about what I have described in his likes. That is your colleagues. Be careful about those that I have described. He had explained the kinds of condition people get into, maybe on their streets in terms of being neighbors with a people, maybe in the family, maybe in the place of work, maybe in school. He had described all of what brings the people together. They make you go along with people. They make you move together with people. They make you be in the companionship with people. He says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الْمَرْءُ مَا وَصَفْتُ مِنْ أَشْكَالِهِ. So let everybody take good precaution regarding those people that I have described. وَأَقْرَانِهِ. Be careful. Your colleagues and your companions. وَجِرَانِهِ. Your neighbors. Be careful. وَبَنِي أَعْمَامِهِ. And then your relatives. بَنُوا أَعْمَامِ. Your cousins. Be careful regarding them. Ulama say this is where a person suffers a lot of hazard. You suffer hazard from your akran, your colleagues at work, your colleagues in the place of play, your colleagues, wherever you have colleagues, your companions, those people you refer to as your friends, they are from, it is from them most likely you are going to suffer al-hasad. Likewise, jiran, your neighbors, you are most likely also going to suffer al-hasad from your neighbors, because your neighbor sees you. He knows when you obtained a new vehicle. He knows when you obtained a new house. He knows when you renovated your house. He knows when you, what you eat, how you eat, how your children dress. He knows your wife, how they relate with you. He knows your children, how good they are. And all of this, he sees the favor with you. So it means you are predisposed. You are predisposed with your companions. You are predisposed to suffering al-hasad from your companions. You are predisposed to suffering hazard from your neighbors. You are predisposed to suffering hazard from your relatives. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Now, why is it that a person would like to make the hazard of another person? Ulama recognize three things. This one occurs in Adabuddin wa Dunya by Al-Mawardi. There is a reason. There are three reasons why a person would want to make hazard of you. So you should be careful of these three reasons, even though they are largely things that you can't help. That's also what you find. You can't help it. You can't help the hasid. You can't, even though the ulama, inshallah, when we come to mention three things we can do to get protection from Allah against al-hasid and his hasad. Three things. Bismillah will mention that. But for three reasons, a hasid may not hasad against you. Three reasons. The first of them is that Bughdul Mahsud. He hates you as a person. When a person hates you as an individual, he does not like you. So when a favor comes to you from Allah, he will hate that favor. The first one is Al-Bughd. He hates you. When he now hates that a favor comes to you from Allah, it becomes what? Al-hasad. That's why he says, لا تباغدوا ولا تحاسدوا. Don't hate yourself. Because when you hate yourself, it will lead you to hate that Allah should favor that person you hate. So you will now hate that favor. When you hate that favor, then he comes and says, ولا تحاسدوا. So he says, لا تباغدوا. Don't hate yourself. If you hate yourself, if you hate your brother, you will hate that he should have a favor from Allah. So when that favor comes from him, you hate that favor. That one becomes what? Al-hasad. So it starts with la tabaghadu, because at-tabaghud, mutually hating ourselves, brings about what? At-tahasud. It brings about mutual jealousy. But the matter, as we have described, this is beyond saying that al-hasad is directly referring to jealousy. We now know what al-hasad is. So one reason a person may have hasad of you is that he hates you. So when goodness comes to you from Allah, he will definitely hate that goodness. Yeah, I have seen things like this before. A man hates that, he hates a companion of his. Everything that person has, he hates it. He hates his wife, he hates his children, he hates his car, he hates his house. He hates the favors of Allah on him. Why? Because he hates him as an individual. So when you hate a person, you hate that he has a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that brings about al-hasad is that an yazhara min al-mahsud fadlun ya'jizu anhu al-hasid. An yazhara min al-mahsud. that the person who suffers that hazard, if Allah subhanahu gives him a favor, and that favor, ya'jizu anhul hasid, the one who has hazard is unable to achieve that favor. You are both students in class. You have an A in a course. The next one who sits near you, he has an E in that class. He's most likely going to have hazard of you. He wants it to. Perhaps you read together. Perhaps you share books. Perhaps you go to the library together. Perhaps you did all the practicals together. Perhaps you struggle together to achieve it. Then you attain an A. He attains a C or a D in that course. He's most likely going to direct a hazard against you. Why? ظَهَرَ مِنَ الْمَحْسُودِ, it has come, it has become apparent from you. فَضْلٌ, a kind of a favor. يَعْجِزُ عَنْهُ الْحَاسِدِ, that person, the second person, he is unable, he can't achieve it. He's also struggling and struggling, but he can't achieve it. This is the kind of hatred, and I like to mention this as an example because you see it happening. Commercial bus drivers hate people you find in cars. They always tell you, I will scratch your car. Those of you in Lagos, you understand this better than I do. They have a kind of a hatred against people they consider to be rich. Why? They think that they are also struggling, but they have not made it as the other person has made it. So it appears you people have made it, then they hate it. They hate. Why? We are also struggling. Why are we not making it? So you see commercial bus drivers, they usually have a kind of a hatred they direct towards people they consider rich. Generally to poor people in the family, usually they are farmers, they are herdsmen, they are low cadre civil servants and all of these. You see them, they may hate those in the family because perhaps they went to school together. Perhaps their mother, the first one's mother is the first wife. The other one's mother is second or third or fourth. As the case may be in large homes, you see the other one. He also wants that thing, but he cannot get it. He cannot achieve it. Okay, imagine you are two brothers. You take your children to Dubai or UK for holidays. He can't do that. If you are not careful, he may have to hate you because of that favor. Why? You have a favor from Allah that has become apparent. He is unable to do it. If he does not control himself and see and understand that that is the preordainment of Allah and that the fingers are not equal and give himself the summon for which or through which he will not hate that favor of Allah, he's going to direct hazard against you and begin to wish that you lose the children, or he begins to wish that you are not able to make those journeys anymore, or he begins to wish things like this that will imply that that favor from Allah has gone away from you. The third thing that brings about or that causes hatred is that an yakuna fil hasid shuhun bil fadail. An yakuna fil hasid shuhun bil fadail. This person, yakunu fihi shuhun, he will be greedy about virtues. He is knowledgeable. He has money. He has everything. But he does not want others to have it. This can lead to hazard. It is not in itself hazard. It is greed. He has money, but he does not want others to have. He has a house, but he does not want his brother to have. He wants that favor to be restricted to him alone. Most businessmen do that too. You have a way, means of success in your business, and you hate that any other person should have it. You don't want it for any other person. You hate that any other person should have it. Now, if that person now has it, you will hate him to have it. You're hating him to have it is hazard. Meanwhile, he didn't learn it from you. He didn't take it from you. He didn't steal it from you, because all of these occur in businesses. Businessmen even want to steal your brain. They want to steal your idea. So sometimes they say, talk to a consultant. They want to steal your idea. They don't want to remain under it. So they want to, you, and then it happens like that in business. when you realize that he did not steal it from you, he did not take it from you, he did not do any of this. So he's just on his own. And Allah blessed him with an intuition. And then he begins to do that. This person who did not want that good for others, he wants it to be restricted to himself alone. Because you now gain that thing, he begins to hope that you should lose it. He begins to hate you for having that favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the three things that brings about al-hasad itself. The first one is that buktul mahsud. You hate that person. If you hate a person, when he gets a favor from Allah, you hate that favor. When you hate that favor coming to him, it is hasad. The second thing is that Allah shows a favor on him. You too, you want that favor, but you didn't get it. It makes people have hasad. The third reason people begin to have hasad against their brothers is that they are greedy. I know someone, he is very, very spending. He spends for members of his family. But he does not want any other person to spend. You can imagine. Take two brothers. Both of them are doing well, bismillah, as Allah has preordained. One of them spends a lot of money for, say, their father. But the other one, who spends the money for the father, he hates that his younger brother too should spend. He wants that goodness to be for him alone. You should not be able to spend. He is greedy over the virtues and the favors of Allah. So when you are able to spend, then he hates you being able to spend. So these are the things, these are the reasons, and how hasad comes about. The third thing I'd like to mention about hasad is, what does the mahsud, the one to whom hasad is directed, you that people hate you for those favors Allah has bestowed upon you, what are those things you need to do to seek protection from Allah against al-hasad? The first of them is that you should be very, very prayerful. And one of the major prayers you need to be saying is what Allah told us in Surah Al-Falaq. Recite Surah Al-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq repeatedly. Allah will protect you from the evils of the hasid, because it's a major evil that Allah told us about. That evil can destroy you. That evil can kill you. That evil can destroy your good thing you are seeing. That evil can cause a lot of trouble for you. That's why Allah says, seek refuge in it. Be someone who recites Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas repeatedly. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ. Look at this last verse. وَمِنْ شَرِّ, you ask protection from Allah against the evil of hasidin, every person who makes hasad, either hasad, at the time when he makes hasad, when he sees you with that favor, that anger starts, that dislike starts. You can't explain. He himself cannot explain. That's why some of the ulama believe that when you look at the face of a hasid, you can read on his face that he has hasad, because he will not be able to contain the dislike and his disavowal for you because of that favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be someone who recites Al-Mu'awwidhatayn repeatedly. Likewise, Surah An-Nas. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also taught us a dua that has been reported by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to make ruqya for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, Bismillahi urqiq, Bismillahi urqiq, min kulli shay'in yuziq, min sharri kulli nafsin aw ayni ahasidin, Allahu yashfiq. Bismillahi urqiq. Bismillahi urqiq. I seek that you become free from whatever illness you have. I ask that by the name of Allah. Bismillahi urqiq. In the name of Allah, I ask that whatever ailment you have should leave you من كل شيء يؤذيك. I seek that everything that causes harm to you should leave you. بسم الله أرقيك من كل شيء يؤذيك. In the name of Allah, I ask that you become free من كل شيء يؤذيك. From everything that causes discomfort for you. من شر كل نفس. From the evil of every soul that can bring about evil to you. أو عين حاسد. Or the eyes of a person who has hasad against you. That is when this usually comes when the person is already suffering from that hasad. So you say this dua. Bismillah urkik. من كل شيء يؤذيك من شر كل نفس أو عين حاسد الله يشفيك. So we say this dua. We say this dua by way of asking for protection and by way of seeking cure if the person is already suffering from that hasad. How do you know? Your wife has ever been an obedient person and then suddenly she becomes disobedient. Your son has ever been an obedient person. Suddenly he starts becoming disobedient. Your car has ever hardly has issues. Suddenly it starts having issues that you can't explain. You go to the mechanics and they tell you every day, oh guy, it does not have problems. But when you are driving it, you know that it has problems. Please start making lots of Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas. The thoughts in the ulama have mentioned us from the means of seeking protection from Allah against the hasad of the hasid itself is that keep away from a person when you begin to determine that he has hasad. Keep away. Keep away. Maintain limits with him. Maintain limits. If it's regarding your family, maintain limits. If it's regarding your children, avoid that he sees those children. Because when he sees those people, he gets angry. He gets sad. He feels uncomfortable. You see it on his face. And one of the ways it manifests, the ulama mentioned, they will be directing wicked statements to you when a person has hasad against you. He directs wicked statements against you. And he will criticize that favor of Allah on you. If it's a house Allah has built for you, the day he comes to that house, he begins to speak evil regarding that house. That house, the gate is shut. Oh, the gate is torn. Why didn't you have a tall gate? He does not have any gate. He doesn't have. But he is criticizing your own, finding faults with it. It is from the ways of the husad. They find faults with the favors that Allah has bestowed upon him. If it is a particular aspect of knowledge you have been blessed with, you say, what does he know? If it's in English, how which English language does he know? Meanwhile, he knows that you know it, but he wants to find faults in it. Because he hates it for you. So for him, it's a virtue, yes. But he does not want you to enjoy it being a virtue. So one way or the other, he begins to say things. And one of the things is that he begins to spoil that thing for you. If you have a fine cloth you are wearing, everybody sees it and say, mashallah, mashallah. But the hasid, when he sees it, he'll say, one leg is longer than the other leg. And there is no such, you know, a pitfall about the cloth. He said, this one is long. One hand, he can say one hand, the tailor has made it such that one hand is longer than the other. He is the one who wants to see the fault in that sin of joy that you have. You have a sin of joy, you take it to him. So this thing is very good, except that he is the one who would find the fault with it. He will direct statements and expressions that will make you want to dislike that favor. He will direct it towards you. So the last thing, like we have said, that the ulama advised that we do regarding these favors of Allah is that limit how that person who may become envious or jealous, who may have hasad against you, limit what he sees of you from the favors. Limit it. Try to avoid him. Try to avoid. And when you have to see him, just be moderate. Be moderate. Be moderate in your dealings with him. Be moderate in it. Be moderate in how you expose yourself to him and the favors that Allah has done to you. Be moderate in it all. Be moderate.
because when he sees them large and large, his books, his hatred against you for having those favors begin to increase. I hope that with all of these few that we have mentioned, I hope the evening lad that each of us can begin to recognize if a person has hatred for you, if a person has hasad for you, I'm sure we should begin to be able to determine how that one will manifest from what we have seen. You can see now that it's a very, very dangerous thing that a person has hasad. Back to the issue. Is this the kind of a person you now go to and say you want to seek an advice? So you see, if you go to a hasid to seek an advice, he already has hasad of you. Why should you go to this kind of a person to seek an advice again? It is a lot of round pegs and square holes. It will not work. You are going to get the wrong advice. And that's why the next chapter we'll be talking about is the evil of a brother recognizing something as bad. And then his brother seeks his advice. He now directs him to that one that he knows that it is bad. We have been prohibited from doing so. And one of the things that can make a person do that is hasad. The mahsud may not quickly discern that this man has hasad against me or this woman has hasad against me. And then you seek an advice from that person. This usually happens. A sister has a husband. Many of the women would like to marry. They like your husband. If they find the opportunity, they want to marry that kind of a man. And then you begin to seek advice. You have an issue with him. Instead of settling it with your husband, you go to those same women to ask for advice. They are likely to give you an advice that will take you out of that house. And don't be surprised. By the time you know it, those same women have become the wives. The woman can become the wife. Maybe she's a widow. Maybe she's divorcee. Maybe she's just a young person. By the time you know it, she became a wife in your husband, with your husband. Then you begin to say, she took your husband away. Be careful those you discuss these matters with, because they may desire the same. Don't forget, that will make the fifth point we read yesterday regarding seeking advice. Don't seek an advice from someone who also has a mind. He also has a stake. He wants to take it over from you. You go back to him and say, please advise me. You are seeking the wrong advice from the wrong person. You're seeking the wrong advice from the wrong person. So the next chapter we have in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is Babu Ismi Man Ashara ala Akhihi Bighayri Rushdin. The chapter about how sinful it is for a person to guide his brother to a matter that he knows that there is no goodness in it. He's certain that what he is guiding him to, there is no goodness in it. Yet when his brother seeks his advice, he starts telling him, do this, do this, do that. He deliberately gives his brother bad advice. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in this book, he cites this hadith to make us understand that it's a great thing to do that. And one of the things that may cause that is al-hasad itself. He already has hasad of you. So when you seek advice from him, he is most likely going to mislead you. We beg Allah to protect us from this illness called al-hasad. Ulama say anybody can fall a victim. You can fall a victim. You yourself can become the hasid to another person the next time. Husbands can become hasid to their wives. A wife can become a hasid to the husband. So it is our duty, each of us, to be sure that we avail ourselves the opportunity of never falling into this evil sin of al-hasad. And then, just like we have mentioned, as anybody can become the hasid, you can also become mahsud. The issue is that as long as you gain a favor from Allah, this thing can come. You gain a favor from Allah, you can become mahsud at any point in time. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, he said, "Ista'inu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman." Ista'inu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman. This hadith, it has been reported by a number of companions, including Abdullah ibn Abbas, including Ali ibn Abi Talib, including Mu'adh ibn Jabal. But these reports are weak. The report that is found in this expression is the report of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, and it has been reported by Ibn Hibban in Rawdatul Uqala and others, as Al-Imam Al-Albani explained in Silsilatul Ahadith Al-Sahihah. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ista'inu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil kitman. Help the success of your affairs by keeping them private. فَإِنَّ مَعَ كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Because with every favor of Allah that you have, you can become a mahsud. مَعَ كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ. You have a favor from Allah, people can have hasad of you regarding that favor. So keep it. Keep that thing you want to achieve. Keep it. Be private with it. So one of the ways to protect ourselves from the evil of al-hasad, suffering hasad, or directing hasad to people, is that you that has that favor, keep your favor. Be private with your favor. Unfortunately, we are in the social media world. Even a newborn baby, a day-old baby, people snap them and show them. You can suffer a lot. People now have children who do all of what we see. One of the reasons why those things can happen is al-hasad. Because we're in a generation, people don't keep the privacies they have. The favors, they don't moderate how they expose the favors that they have. They want to show to the whole world. In fact, the person who does not know them at all will come across the picture of your child. You can suffer hasad. Hasad can kill that child. Hasad can become the means why that child now has ailments that you can't explain. Hasad can be the means why you lose your house. Hasad can be the means by which you lose your car, you lose your sound health. May Allah protect each and every one of us from the evil of hasad, whether it comes to us as we having hasad, or it comes against us as people having hasad against us. While we ask, also beg Allah for a lot of his favors from him, that he should protect us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it will be convenient to stop here. In the next class, we will go to the evil of misguiding your brother, telling him something you know that it is not going to profit him. You already know, he sought your advice. You know that what is you are telling him will not profit him, yet you say that to him. You want him to follow it so that he loses the favor, he loses guidance, and gets into trouble. And you know this is a chain of a big sin. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Rahman.
Assalamu alaykum, Ya Shaykhan.
Wa yakum, Abu Abdul Rahman.
Naam, we have a couple of questions here.
Naam, now we can take a few, inshallah.
The first questioner says, Assalamu alaykum, Ya Shaykh. Jazakum Allahu khair. Uncles, how can someone control his hasad? The person really hates to have hasad, but it just comes naturally.
Allah. Well, sometimes I like to say this. Sometimes the person who has hasad knows that he has hasad. About 3 years ago, a brother came to me. He greeted me, we greeted. And that happened in Makkah. After that, he said, I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, hasad is disturbing me. I hate to see people have goodness. I've hardly heard something like that. A brother said, it's clear cut. See, I have a problem. That problem is hasad. When something good happens to people, I don't like it. May Allah protect each and every one of us. May Allah, out of his might and power, remove hasad from the minds of these people. So the first thing we need to do to not become a hasid, or for the one who is already suffering from this ailment, the first thing to do is to be begging Allah subhanahu. Beg Allah subhanahu. Allah, remove this illness from my mind. Allah, remove this illness from my mind. Allah, remove this illness from my mind. Allah, remove this illness from me. From amongst the things that the ulama have also recommended, by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away hasad, is give gifts to people. Give gifts to people. Now, hasad is to hate the people when they enjoy a favor. Be the one providing that favor. So it's a way to step on the mind. You hate when they get a favor. Okay, you provide them the favor. It will help you not to have hazard when they have favor, because you provided them the favor. And we have understood from this class, a poor person can give a gift to a rich person, just as a rich person can give a gift to a poor person. So don't say, oh, I am poor, how do I give a gift to a rich person if I have hazard of a rich person? Give him a gift. Do a thing of benefit to him. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, la tu'minu hatta tahabu. You cannot be good believers. You cannot sincerely believe until you love yourselves. Ala unabbi'ukum bi amrin idha fa'altumuhu tahabbabtum. Should I not guide you to an affair? When you do it, it will nurture mutual love amongst you. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afshu salama baynakum. So take it as a second one. Exchanging taslim. Ulama say, when you exchange taslim, it kills that burning fire of hasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Unfortunately, some people use this taslim as a thing to abuse those who are upon the sunnah. They say, awan salam alaikum. It is a virtue. If sha'u salam, spreading taslim, spreading the salam. So when you say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, say that salamu alaikum from your heart. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Say it from your mind regarding your brother. It is from the means of quenching the fire of al-hasad. The first one is beg Allah to remove al-hasad from your mind. The second one is train yourself to give gifts. Send gifts to people. If you are likely to have hasad of him, be sending gifts to him. From the things you will gain in your sending gifts to a person that you are likely going to have hazard of is that Allah will make it a means of removing hazard from your mind. The third thing is Isha'u Salam, giving taslim, saying Assalamu Alaikum when you see people, say taslim. Because when you see a person and you see that favor, that evil thinking comes, that hatred comes. When you say a taslim, genuinely, it cuts it off. It cuts it off. Also, from the things we can say repeatedly is that we should recite a lot of Suratul Falak and Nas. This time, not because you are afraid of the evil of another person directing hasad towards you, but because you want yourself to be protected from that evil of al-hasad itself. You don't want to be the one who has the hasad. And one of the best means to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything is by reciting Suratul Falak and Suratul Nas. So make dua, send gifts to people, say taslim to people, tell them what is good. Like we had explained, sending a gift to a person does not stop at sending physical gifts. You can say good words to him. Oh, sorry. Oh, please come. Oh, please, can you kindly do this? Use good expressions when you talk to those persons and make them come from the depths of your heart. All of these will go to douse the evil of al-hasad in the person who already has al-hasad. And that's what that brother does. I have noticed it with him. The brother who came to me to say that his problem is hasad. I have noticed it with him. The other brother that he told, he calls him regularly. He sends things to him. He messages him. He tries to keep a very friendly relationship with him. I think he was doing all of that by way of quenching the fire of al-hasad in his mind regarding that person that he had told. In fact, that day when I heard it, I was thinking that, are you sure you are not the victim of that hazard? May Allah protect each and every one of us. May Allah not make us have this illness. And those who already have this illness, may Allah protect them and take it away from them. So dua, thank
you.
Amin wa iyyakum.
Another one says, assalamu alaikum. Is there a link between asad and ayn?
Is there a link between al-hasadu and al-ayn? Yes, from the hadith that we read, in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving ruqya from Jibreel, he said, Bismillah urqik min kulli shay'in yu'zik min sharri kulli nafsin aw ayni hasidin. The eyes of the hasid can also destroy. The eyes of the hasid can also become destructive. The eyes of the hasid, from this hadith, the ayn of the hasid itself is destructive. So, al-ayn itself, one of the things that can cause a person to become a victim of ayn is hasad. Because count it as three things. The first one, the soul of that person who has the ayn. That soul, when it is deceased against another person, the ayn that he has manifests in the third person in the forms of evil, in various forms. His own bad soul generates a reaction, so to say. I'm trying to make us understand it like a system, because it is necessary that we understand it. Someone has a very bad mind. He has nifaq in his mind. He has riya in his mind. He has kibr in his mind. Kibr is arrogance. He has al-ujub in his mind. Al-ujub is self-importance in his mind. He has al-hasad in his mind. He has all these elements in his mind. The way it can affect the people with it is through his eyes. So you can have al-hasid manifesting al-ayn, the eye, evil eye. The hasad can manifest in the evil eye against the mahsud. The hasad can manifest, you know hasad, where it is placed? The heart. It can manifest in the evil eye. Where is the place of the evil eyes? The eyes. And then it can afflict the mahsud, the third person who is away from him. May Allah protect us from this. So there is always a connection between al-hasad and al-ayn. One of the ways al-hasad can manifest is through what? Through al-ayn. The person who has hasad of you can, through his ayn, through his eyes, through evil eye, it will cause an illness. May Allah protect us against the mahsud. I hope that is clear about Rahman.
Naam, ya Sheikh Anna. As-salamu alaykum. Another one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What if the hasad person happened to be one's husband? That usually creates problem whenever Allah bless you with a favor. Is it possible to leave such man without taking advice from him when he should be the closest person to the wife?
Sincerely, is actually a dilemma. When the wife becomes the hasida, or the husband becomes the hasid of his wife, is actually a serious dilemma. I think one of the things the woman can do is to begin to help the man over his hasad. Begins to help the man over his hasad. When the woman has a favor from Allah, that is actually a favor. A favor that's actually a favor. Then the man becomes uncomfortable with her. Begins to hate her, begins to have issues with her. Then the question is, should the woman take advice? You can take advice from him if it is not about the matter regarding which, because there is nothing, the woman cannot become disconnected from her husband. So a better way to approach the matter is to help him over his hasad. There is no way a woman can become disconnected as long as he remains her husband. She has to remain under him. She has to take instruction from him. And if she does not want to take instructions from him, then that will be leading to separation. So you see, it's really a big dilemma for her. So she makes dua. She sends gifts to him. She makes him feel comfortable. She can address his fears about the matter regarding which he has hazard. If she feels that he feels unsafe, she can address the matter with him and guarantee him safety. She needs a lot of caution and begging Allah in the circumstance. It's a very, very difficult situation. Allah protect her.
Now, another one says, please, how can one maintain a balance between keeping family ties and staying away from relatives who apparently have envy towards you?
Yes, you keep good family ties. Whenever they have a right, you discharge the right. Like we said, one of the ways to even kill the hazard is sending gifts. Send them gifts. And when you send them gifts, you are sending it now with two intentions. The first intention is to preserve family ties. And the second intention is to help them against their hazard. So when you send gifts to a mass, to the hazard, it's usually a means of quenching the fire of the al-hazard. So you will see the gifts, you send good words to him. We greet you, Jazakallah khairan. I mean, how are you doing today? Send good words to him, then it will be a means of protection for you. When you send gifts, you also pay attention to them and all of these, like we had read, it will be a means of protection from Allah for you if you do that regarding members of the family. Send gifts to them, tell them good words, then beg Allah to protect you from any evil that may come from the hazard that they have. But when you completely disconnect yourself from them, then the evil of the hazard against you will become worse. When you disconnect yourself from family members, their hazard against you will become worse. When you disconnect yourself from family members that are likely to have hazard regarding you, that hazard will become worse. So just extend good to them, say good to them. Whenever you meet, make them feel comfortable. If you're a man, you say sa, 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 let your sa increase. Say a lot of sa and ma to them. Be nice to them, be kind to them. So all of these will be a means of protection for you. And then it will be a means of pouring water to the reducing the fire of al-hasad. Even though the ulama say that fire can never be quenched. Ulama say every fire has a means of quenching it, except the fire of al-hasad. It is not quenched until you lose the favor that Allah has given to you. So you have to look for a way of reducing the adverse effect of that fire. And one of them is saying good to them, sending them gifts, then reduce how you expose your favors to them. Reduce it. Reduce how you expose the favors of Allah upon you. Reduce how you expose it to them. When you go to a family gathering, give them the money to spend. Don't be the one spending it. Take, spend it. So they say, yes, they have it. They feel some sort of a joy. Don't be the one. A hasid does not want to see you be the one spending. He will look at you and kill you with that hasid. So for the sake of Allah, you can give him in family. Say, you take, spend the money. And he say, you spend. Say, no, we are together. We are together business. I just spend the money. So you sit down, be looking at them. They feel happy about it. That also reduces the hazard. When Shaitan brings evil suggestions of hazard against you, so you say, ah, but he gave me money to spend yesterday. He gave the money. I was the one spending the money. He wants to feel some sort of a joy. So by that, you'll be connecting family ties. You also be reducing the tension that is connected to the hazard in their minds. You make them feel important. And they are actually important because they are your relatives. So you make them feel important, you make them feel comfortable, you make them feel safe. But when you completely disconnect yourself from them, that is not a good thing at all.
May Allah protect you and every one of us.
Amen.
Time has been fast spent. Can we take one more question?
Yes, Yashikhana. So this one says, please, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Please, can we find the second prayer in Ismul Muslim? If not, where can we find and memorize the dua.
That dua occurs in Sahih Muslim. And I don't know now whether it is in Hisn Muslim. I'm not used to Hisn Muslim. I go to books of hadith to memorize that gash. So but I think you can check it in Hisn Muslim. Min kulli shay'in yu'zik wa min sharri kulli nafsin aw ayni hasidin Allahu yashfik. Check it up in Hisn Muslim. But the hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Naam Abab Rahman, can we call it a day today? Abab Rahman. Can we call it a day?
Naam.
Can we call it a day, inshallah? With the evening, Allah will continue in the next class.
Ma'am, may Allah protect you and your family from our heart.
Ameen, ameen, and you too, Abab Rahman.
Ameen.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.